Welcome to Toddler Toolkit. Hi there, parents. So I'm so excited for today. We are doing a Q&A toddler lightning round with me. So these are some questions that have been asked, and I'm so excited to dive into them, answer them. I thought maybe I will do this on the podcast every now and then and kind of get a feel for how you guys like this. So the first two questions that I'm going to be answering have to do with toddler independence. The third question has to do with how playing with kids is a struggle, like how to overcome that. And the fourth question and the fifth question I'm going to be answering has to do with park tantrums. And that was a little snippet that was included in my public tantrum game plan workshop, which I highly recommend. You go to the show notes, sign up for that, because even if you don't make the live on time, there'll still be a recording. So as long as you sign up for the public tantrum game plan workshop, you're going to be able to watch it, even if you miss the live, which will be the next one will be 12:30 this Wednesday, which will be today when you're listening to it. So Wednesday, the 27th at 12:30 p.m. EST. But even if you miss that, sign up, you can still get the recording. So hope to see you there or that you're able to watch it. And so those last two questions are just a little sliver of that workshop, but the workshop is so amazing. I don't want you to miss out. So go to the show notes and sign up for that. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and get started with our lightning round. Okay. So, and I just want to say the whole point of the lightning round is that it's a quick question asked and I'm going to answer it quickly. So I'm not going to spend too long answering each question. Otherwise, each question would be its own podcast episode. All right. So question one, how do I navigate apartment stairs with twins? And for some of you that don't have twins, multiple kids that can't do stairs yet on their own. Okay. So yes. So would we have a house? We moved into our house when the boys were about 7 months old and we have stairs and it seemed like such a pain. It has two segments of stairs with like a middle part in between. And it really made me regret getting the house at first because it was such a pain just carrying them up and down and also like just navigating the whole stair situation. And it made me wish that we had a one-story rambler house instead, but it all worked out, and this is why. So even though I carried them for a long time downstairs, I can't remember till what exact age. It was probably around two, until they were able to scoot or hold onto the railing and walk down or crawl backwards. Our stairs are carpet, so you know if you're living in an apartment stairs, they're probably not carpet, but they could be. So that could make it more challenging. Obviously, carpet is easier and better for toddlers scooting and sliding down. Not that they can't do it on non-carpet stairs. Forewarning, I actually tore my lower lat, that's part of my back, carrying them down the stairs when one kind of slipped. So one kind of slipped and I did this really weird bendy motion to put my one twin toddler down and that created a lat tear. And it did take months to recover. It did suck. You know, they were the 92 percentile, so lots of weight to carry to set them down. So I totally feel the pain of the stairs, like getting that away. I feel the pain of the stairs. But this isn't a magic solution or a quick fix. The best thing that worked for with my boys on the stairs and getting them down the stairs was working on gross motor skills, like climbing the stairs at a playground, okay, or baby toddler-friendly equipment. It's not a quick fix, but once they can independently work on those skills and build them up, they can independently walk down the stairs. You know, I'll say some days, yeah, they still want me to carry them, even though they're almost three. But, you know, the days that they want to walk down and be independent, I'm like, yes, thank goodness, right? So there are always going to be days where they want you to carry them again. But the fact that they have that skill can be so helpful because if one of my toddlers wants to walk independently and the other one just wants to be carried and doesn't want to be set down when I'm getting them from nap time or in the morning, that is one whole baby I don't have to carry. And it makes a huge difference. And the other thing is the concept of waiting. So we want to work with our toddlers with that skill early on. Waiting is a really important skill. And so the other thing you could do besides working on the gross motor, the climbing at the playground, you know, maybe going to a play place that's inside, you know, I know sometimes it's cold, it's rainy, right? So a play place inside, they could work on climbing on equipment or get it for your house. The only reason I say the play place is because it could save you a lot of money. There was one or two that opened up in our area in the last few months, and the cost of all their equipment that they have is thousands of dollars. And so obviously being able to go to a place, not have to pay thousands of dollars, and practice those skills is awesome too. So it is up to you. Also, you can find things that are pretty inexpensive. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars. Even like little play equipment for the backyard, you might be able to find something on Amazon or somewhere else that's a really good deal that they're going to get to work on those skills. So that's super important. And like I said, the stairs at the playground, I know I kind of went back off on a tangent there, but the stairs at the playground is so important. I know like a lot of playgrounds, they're really for 5 and up. But I've always let my boys, obviously at your own risk, right? And you got to be comfortable with it. But I have let them get on playgrounds that say 5 and up. I just make sure to, when they were younger, I blocked off the section I didn't want them to go to. It was easy to do when they were between 1 and 2. At the age they are now, at almost 3, I can't really block them off of sections as easily. I have to just use it more, you know, like use a lot more words saying like, yeah, we're not, that's for the big kids. When they were littler, I could kind of just use my body and block, and it was totally fine. I don't want you to go to this part of the playground. But the fact that they do so many stairs on so many playgrounds is why they're able to walk down the stairs independently now, whether they're holding the railing, you know, or not. And obviously, I encourage the railing for safety, especially at our house. And so before I went off on this tangent, the concept of waiting is important because if they're not independent or they both want you to hold them and they're kind of just like, hold me, even though they're older and they can do it, but they just want you to carry them down, the concept of waiting, I'll be back. And they have to learn that trust. Like, I will be back to come get you. And carry baby one down, then go back up, carry the other baby down. And the concept of waiting, that could be a little scary for them at first, especially if you're out in public and there's other people walking down the apartment stairs. So that, I know it's a different scenario there, but you are right there. You are watching them, as long as it's not like a huge stairwell. So that is something you could do, because I just found, you know, at a really young age, you can do the baby carriers where you carry them down, but it just seems like once they get like, you know, like I said, mine were in the 92nd percentile, and it's just was too much to carry them. First of all, getting them into a carry, it's like, no. When they were newborns, okay, that's when that thing worked. One and up, no, it did not work for me. Maybe it does for other people, but that is what I recommend. All right, question 2. I have mom guilt about my toddlers playing independently. I feel mom guilt that I am not interacting with them enough. I'm with them all day, but I don't know if I'm doing a good job. Okay, so yeah, I feel like there's so much, can be so much pressure to always be engaging and playing with our kids. Of course, social media can make us feel this way. And we know that our kids love when they play with them. But when they're actually playing independently, that is really great for them forming attention skills. And they're forming it now for later in life. Children who play independently, who are not always looking around for mom worried and concerned, feel very safe. They did studies on this where they showed that children that felt very secure and had a secure attachment were less worried and scanned and monitored their environment less because they felt safe. The children that didn't feel safe had a hard time playing with the blocks or whatever items were placed in front of them. They were always looking up at mom or whoever their caretaker was, and they just did not feel confident or comfortable enough to play. So this is a really important, it's a really interesting study that they did. So if your toddlers are, you know, feel safe to develop and they're playing independently, kudos to you for providing them a nurturing relationship where they can engage and play and build many early skills. And part of the many early skills that one might not know is early reasoning skills, like basic math is being formed in your toddler's brain as they play, especially between the ages of 8 months to 2 years of age. So the foundational pieces of attention and reasoning and also emotional response as well. So there's a lot of important skills that are forming at a very early young age. Now, the time of play can differ, right? And sometimes I don't even like to go by the recommendation, like at this age, your toddler can play for 5 minutes or can play at this age, they can play for 12 minutes. I don't really always like to go by that, even though it's like a ballpark, because I've just seen my toddlers ebb and flow. And it's not this like perfect number that they're always going to hit when they play independently. It's just, that's not reality. That's probably an average of data that they took in studies. And then they said, okay, kids that are 1 year old can play for this amount of time. Kids that are 3 year olds can play independently for this amount of time. And so what we're seeing is we're seeing some young toddlers playing independently for a long time. And it's making us worry because like, hey, is this not typical? Am I doing something wrong? Should I feel guilty? Should I be interacting with them? It's like, no, no. That's why sometimes we have to take information with a grain of salt. So this is probably just a phase that they're going through. I mean, my boys went through a phase like that too, where, you know, it pretty much they would be playing 5 to 10 minutes independently is what the data showed. And how long they were actually playing was around an hour and a half to 2 hours independently. And that was a phase that they went through somewhere between the ages of 1 and 2. And then that phase went away. And sometimes it was just 12 minutes of independent play. And it ebbs and flows. Now they're almost 3. You know, we went through a lot of times where they weren't doing that long independent play. It was shorter and they wanted more of my attention. And then, you know, now there's days where they go back to playing like an hour by themselves, independently, together. So I just think that that it just depends on where they are and they go through different phases and it's okay. And to not feel guilty, I would soak it up because it could change. It probably will. It did for me, but it also could come back again. So yeah, release the mom guilt on that. All right. Question number 3. I have a hard time breaking the barrier of playing with my kids. I can read a book or help them cooking, but engaging in play with my kids is tough, and I'm worried they don't know how to do imaginary play. Okay, so yeah, not everybody is like the Miss Rachel type where they just like are really good or love playing with their kids. I mean, I love playing with my kids, but there are times where I'm tired or I feel burned out, and yeah, I feel like I just need to rest my body and not be on all the time. But yes, there are parents or moms that really, you know, they enjoy cooking, maybe they enjoy reading, but just like playing with their kids just is like a barrier. It's tough. And so what is my best advice for a mom or a parent that is like that? I would use the scaffolding approach. I think that is the best way to build independence. So scaffolding is like I do, we do, you do. So there's a thought that like independent play has to always be independent, and it doesn't. What you can do is you can show them how to play and then do it with them and then let them take over. So this starts to develop and build over time. So, you know, independent play, you can see a 2 to 4 year old engaging in pretend play, but the younger ages might just be doing more simple things like building blocks, right? Play doesn't have to be with toys though. So even if you're not using scaffolding techniques and you're not introducing some of this imaginative play techniques, you still can play with them in a different way. So you can have fun with them when you're cooking and bring the play into that. Let's expand our idea in mind about what play is. So our toddlers have 3 buckets: attention, learning through play, and independence. So if you're doing an activity with a toddler, whether helping cook, and you can easily hit all 3 of their buckets. They're getting your attention, they're working on independent skills, and can learn through the tasks they do. It's fun to them as play learning. So here's an idea, an activity idea, if you're just not the person that likes to play toys and things like that with your kids. The Little Chef's Pizza Party, right? So This is great for 2 to 4 year olds. Your goal is to get them to engage in a fun cooking experience, nurture their needs, their attention, independence, and learning through play. So all you need to get is the ingredients. You could get pita bread or whatever you want to use for the dough, a selection of sauces, tomato, pesto, a variety of toppings like cheese, vegetables, you know, bell peppers, tomatoes, mushrooms, olives, cooked chicken, whatever you want to add to it, a child-safe knife. So, or you could use a spoon instead if you're just like, no, I don't do the knives. Okay, that's fine. Use a spoon for spreading the sauce. And also they do make child-safe knives that aren't sharp, by the way. But yes, you could also use a spoon. Also, it could help them cut some of the soft toppings under supervision. So even those toddler-safe knives that are not sharp can still cut through soft foods. And if you want to be super fun and in character, wear some aprons. So to get their attention, you're going to help them with the gathering process of the ingredients. Start the cooking activity by involving them in gathering all the ingredients from your pantry and fridge. And you can also make it fun into a game, like, can you find something red for our pizza? You could even have the ingredients already sort of out, but they still have to gather them just in case you don't want all the cold air to get out of your fridge and your whole fridge to get turned upside down. So it's up to you. Or you could place the items in proximity in a place in your fridge where they won't be getting into all these other things and it's everywhere. So you kind of already set it up. And you can learn through play, encourage them to choose their toppings from a variety of colors, shapes, names. So they're learning all about the food. They're learning about the different shapes, the colors, and you're bringing that into it. You're making it a sensory experience, but you're also building vocabulary. You're turning cooking into playful learning opportunities. Now for independence, allow them to decide how to decorate their pizza with the toppings, you know, and you can give them attention and praise for their choices. Encourage them to do as much on their own as possible and be independent. All right, so that is some of my advice in being creative. If play is not really your thing, you're just not down for playing with their little people in their pretend farmhouse, then here's another way you can engage with them that is super meaningful. Okay, so question number 4, how do I explain to my toddler that something is okay one time, but not another time? So for instance, if one of my toddlers are wearing rain boots and they can splash in the puddles, but the next day they are wearing tennis shoes and if they get wet, it will ruin the whole outing. Okay, so I would be really upfront with your toddler. You may know I'm not a fan of projecting future actions, like you go to the grocery store and you're like, don't run. If you run, you're going to have to sit in the cart for the rest of the time. Like, I'm not really a fan of threats and projecting future actions and consequences when your toddler hasn't even done anything yet. But in this instance, I do think it is very important to hold the boundary up front. Today, we can splash in the puddles. Or today, no puddles, right? Just hold the boundary up front, let them know. So if, you know, you're worried that they're going to get their tennis shoes wet, it's going to ruin the whole outing, then it's important that you give them reminders and you are upfront. And you can also kind of teach them a way to understand it in their own language. Rain boots are special because they love playing in the water. Rain boots equals water, right? We can do that. Tennis shoes, no water. They get cold and uncomfortable when wet and we feel sad. That won't be fun. Interesting enough, this situation has come up multiple times with my toddlers, and I know they're boys, and so they do boy things, like they love sticks, right? And so they were playing with sticks and hitting trees in the park where we were at. And it was totally fine because it was like an isolated area. It wasn't bothering anybody. And we went to a picnic bench area and they carried their sticks with us. So one thing I could have done is told them they couldn't bring the sticks with them. Sticks are for here. We're going to leave them. Bye-bye sticks, right? So we could have left them, but we didn't. So what happened was they brought the sticks over to the picnic bench area and they started clanging and banging. And there are people trying to enjoy communication, connection with whoever they were sitting with, eating their picnic at these benches. And it was obnoxious, the banging sound. And I do think it's important to teach our toddlers about other people and what's appropriate. So in this instance, this is not appropriate. It's okay to do it over there. It's not okay to do it over here. So what you have to do is hold the boundary and say, sticks aren't allowed here. If they listen, let them know they had given the praise, they had good listening. If not, you have to physically take the sticks from them if they're not going to listen. But what you could do is give them a choice. It's like, okay, either you can put the sticks down or mommy's going to take it. Or maybe if, you know, they love their sticks, they can keep it in the stroller or something like that for later. But you can give them a choice to build their independence bucket. But if they don't listen, we do need to hold the boundary because we do need to teach like, hey, this is not appropriate. This is affecting other people, but in a way that our toddler can understand. Question number 5, and this is our last question of the lightning round. Help, my toddlers were refusing to leave the park and were trying to run away and flop. Okay. I recommend using something I call first then, but I also recommend if you can't handle all the kiddos on your own and it is possible to have a stroller or wagon, especially if you're by yourself, because if they refuse to listen, you're going to have no other support or any, you know, if you can carry your toddler, if you need to, can you do that? If you have multiple kids, or multiple toddlers or twins or something like that, that might not be possible. I always have the stroller or wagon, always. And the stroller I have, the boys are practically almost outgrown. So I'm going to have to figure out another situation soon with that because they're just so big. The boys are just so big. But having that is a game changer and it has bigger wheels so it can go through grass. And so I can always bring it wherever. So that is one of the nice things about, you know, getting something that's going to work with you, especially if you are outdoorsy, you love the parks, and that's something you frequent. And I will also say that sometimes when toddlers have so much fun and they're tired, all that physical activity can lead to tantrums when leaving the park, and they can refuse to leave and get big emotions. And it's totally okay that they have these feelings. But as adults, you know, for us, if they don't listen, we need to, you know, we need to show them that, yeah, they have options, but we are leaving. Like, we can't just be there for an hour while they flop. Because the thing is, they are allowed to have their feelings. And yes, you can give them time to have their feelings. But what happens is if we teach them, if they throw a tantrum and we stay for a whole extra hour because of it, that is teaching them a lesson that they can do that. And then they're going to start doing it with everything. So eventually, since your toddler might be tired, you know, they will calm down once you get them in the stroller or get them in the wagon. You might be the last thing they seem to want to do, but once they get there, give it a minute or two, things will improve, right? They're going to calm down. They need to learn how to regulate. You can also use distractions as well. Talk about what you see as you're walking home to the car. Talk about what you'll do when you get home, play with toys, have a yummy snack. This isn't bribing. You're just talking about your day, right? And bribing, because a lot of people worry about like the whole park situation and bribing, I feel like they can go hand in hand, right? It's important to understand that bribing is when you're like, if you don't scream or you don't cry or you listen the first time or you do X, Y, Z, you're going to get this reward. If you don't scream or you don't cry or you don't flop, you get your favorite toy. Okay, that we don't want to approach it in that way because that is extrinsic motivation. So we are bribing. A lot of people confuse what bribing actually is. If you're talking about what you're going to do as part of a schedule, that's not bribing. And so I think there's this big confusion where a lot of people think that you're bribing if you're saying that you're going to go home for snack. That's bribing. It's not bribing. Bribing is when you say, if you don't cry, then I'll give you your favorite treat, whatever that is, right? But when you're using a schedule, like something like First Then, which I go over way more in the workshop, so make sure to sign up because I really give some good details about how to actually use First Then that is super helpful. So I go over that in the Public Tantrum Game Plan Workshop. The link is in the description of the show notes. So make sure to check that out because yes, I go into way more detail in that workshop. But when you're talking about the schedule, that is not bribing. So don't let people tell you that your toddler getting a snack, that you packed a snack for the park because you're out for a few hours. Don't let them tell you that's bribing. Don't let them tell you that if you're talking about the schedule, it's bribing. It is not. It is not. Okay. They're just confused. They don't know. They don't understand it. You can also give choices, like you can walk or go on the stroller. If they choose to walk, great. Make sure to praise them. If they flop to the ground, then you have to follow through with the choices given. Well, flopping isn't walking, so you're going to have to go on the stroller. Okay, it looks like you need help. You're going to go on the stroller. You also can use a transition item, like holding something appropriate, like a drink, so they can hold like a water, or maybe they have like toy keys, or they have something, a transition item, they can pretend to unlock the car, whatever it is. You can get creative. You don't have to use that idea. It's just an idea. You know, maybe allow them to be part of the car process. Well, going back to the car isn't fun. I'm having fun at the park. Well, how can we make going back to the car more exciting? We can use distractions. We can also have them more engaged. Maybe they can help put the toys in the trunk or whatever you brought. Maybe they can help hit the unlock button. Maybe you don't want to do that because you're like, okay, that's going to open up a can of worms and they're always going to want, okay, fine. But you can get creative with making the leaving process more fun for them. Think of a way, because every toddler is different. What works for one toddler might not work for another. And also having a goodbye ritual where you say goodbye to everything at the park can also help too. Goodbye slide, goodbye swings, goodbye park. Because if you're just sitting there going, we're leaving now, come on, you're not listening, and you say that for 30 minutes, number one, you're training your toddlers unintentionally to not listen to you. Number two, it's not working. So helping them understand that you're leaving without, come on, we're leaving to the car, give them a goodbye ritual. So that was all five questions, like I said, about the public tantrums. I go way more into detail about that in my workshop. Check out the show notes for that. I hope you enjoyed this quick lightning round and shedded some light and creativity on ways you can navigate situations with your toddler on your own. All right. Have a great day, parents, and I will talk to you in the next episode. And that wraps up another episode filled with tools and insights to help your parenting journey have clarity and ease. Remember, every child is unique, and so is our experience, especially when there's more than one. Keep celebrating those small victories and learning along the way. I'm Heather, your Twin Mama Guide, and until next time, here's to raising skilled, self-regulated toddlers who listen, learn, and love. Take care, and see you soon.